Good to see everyone here for the Memorial Day weekend. Typically, we have a lot of folks out of town, but certainly good to have you here and a good crowd here this morning. And I trust the Lord will speak to our hearts today. We're on lesson 23 in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, and we are in verses 1 and 2 today. So lesson 23, if you need that, it is entitled The Aggressive Prophecy in the Midst of Woe, lesson number 23. Anyone need that? Raise your hand, please. All right, don't see any. No takers. Everybody has those. We have been on this for a little while. It is pretty in-depth and a lot of Old Testament scripture we've been looking back on, and we will do that today as we look at verses 1 and 2 and maybe get into, we should get into the ministry of the two. And talking about the two witnesses during the Revelation. Again, I want to remind you that we are in a period here in Revelation, as we have been many times, where, first of all, there is no timeline. It would be very difficult to plug things into a timeline. Now, I have mine. I'm sure others here have theirs, what we think. And, some sort of a timeline of what we think. This is when this is going to happen. But there is no... It is very, very difficult to do that when the Bible doesn't say. We can speculate, and that's been our big word for Revelation. There are so many things God definitely says, okay? There are so many things, nothing to argue about. Jesus is coming, amen? That's clear, very, very clear in the Scripture. But there are some things God has left up to some speculation. And time and timeline is one of those. We know there's 7 years. We know that. We understand that. We know there's a period of dividing that in half. We know that clearly, 3.5 years, and on each side of that, different things. And we understand that. We understand a 7-year truce with Israel, between Israel and the Antichrist. We do understand that. At least that is the covenant that is made. But of course, Antichrist, being of the devil, a liar, deceitful, breaks that covenant in the midst, and there is one of those splits of the tribulation, the 7 years of a 3.5 year period. We will get into one of those here. Verse 2, the last part, talks about 40 and 2 months. Again, what is 42 months? Well, it's 3.5 years. And so, again, we have these kind of ideas, but again, a lot of people want to say, well, you know, when does this happen? We don't know. We don't know. I've read. What's that series? What is it? Left Behind. Is that the series with all the books? They had a whole bunch of them. Is that okay? Yeah, and again, they openly declare that it's fiction. Unfortunately, some people take it to be, oh, this is the Word of God. No, no, it's just fiction, somebody's interpretation. Years ago, it was, wasn't there a book called 666, a fictional rendition? Boy, that goes back a long time ago. Anyway, a lot of fictional books just make for reading. If somebody's idea of how this is going to happen, that's good. But again, you know, you read that and say, well, that can't possibly. Well, he thought it did. And you think, oh, well, this is how, well, we will really probably not even be paying attention to it all when we're in heaven, because we'll be at the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I'm real interested in the marriage supper of the Lamb, because I can eat all the death by chocolate that I want. Amen? I mean, these open houses are really, really taking their toll. You know what I'm talking, I mean, right? And because you have to eat a piece of cake. I mean, it's just, it's in the Bible somewhere. Third hesitation, or I couldn't hesitate, or whatever. But anyway, let's move on. All right, we're talking about measuring of the temple. But first, let's get into our memory verse for this chapter. And that is Revelation 11 and verse 15. So let's go ahead and say that together. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference again. And begin. Revelation 11:15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 11:15. And again, Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 11:15. And is this on? It is. Okay, very good. So we are at Revelation 11, verses 1 and 2. Revelation 11, verses 1 and 2, or Roman numeral 2 in our outline. We've seen the message of the truth, talking about the little book. Number 2, the measuring of the temple takes place here. And it says, there was given me a reed like unto a rod. The angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. Now, we ended last week talking about this reed, this rod, this reed that was to measure with, like unto a rod, the Bible says. We kind of thought that might be about 9 feet long, according to Ezekiel 40 and verse 5, describing the length of a reed. And a reed that was used for measuring. And so about 9 feet long. And this temple here that they're measuring is a temple that is on earth. We talked about that. We talked about how we know that because it is given, the courtyard of this temple is given to the Gentiles. Obviously, that isn't going to happen in heaven. And so we have this idea that this is a temple that has been built during the tribulation time, or it is in existence during the tribulation time. I believe it was built right after the rapture. I believe it was built in maybe in the peace talks and everything else with the Antichrist and all of that. Again, we speculate. I speculate that the persecution against the Jews is so strong. And by the way, it is. The Muslims want them dead. They want them wiped out. And I think the Antichrist somehow, whatever political situation is set up, he steps in and says, look, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to take care of you. Let's make a deal. Let's work together. And he does all these different things. I think that takes place right after the rapture. I don't know that. That's what I think. And so this covenant is made, and they rebuild the temple, and the Antichrist is the hero, and boy, everybody loves him, and oh, he's such a great guy. He's not. But anyway, and of course, in the midst of the tribulation, after 3.5 years, the Antichrist breaks that covenant. So the implication here, okay, go measure this temple. Now, to me, I think the implication is we need to measure the temple because it's not built the way God said that it should be built. Something is wrong. Something is not the way it ought to be. And he said, he not only said to measure it, but he said measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. The idea to me is one of this is not the way God said it was supposed to be. And again, when you make a deal with the Antichrist, you can't expect it to be the way God says it's supposed to be. Amen? It's not going to be the way God says it's supposed to be. You cannot make deals with the devil. You cannot make deals with the world. When will Christians learn? Well, they're not going to learn. It's going to get worse and worse as we watch more and more Christians giving in to the world's standard, the world's idea, the Antichrist measurements. It's not going to work. And so we have this idea here that this, and why would we be shocked? God totally, completely said, here's how I want the temple built. Here's the specs, if you will. Here's the schematic. Here's how you build the temple. This is my will. We live in a day where, 6 inches isn't going to matter. 2 inches, what's the big deal? We have a reason why we want it to be a little longer. We have a reason why we want it to be a little taller. We have a reason why we want it to be a little shorter. God's not going to care. Let me tell you something. He always cares. If he tells us to do it this way, he always cares. But I don't want to get into all that right now. I just think, again, this is the idea. I want you to see, I want you to see this, John. Measure this thing. I want you to see it's not what it's supposed to be. And so, let's see. So, John is to measure it. And John is not only to measure it, but them that worship therein. And the point is, if we don't do what God says, we don't measure up. And so not only is the temple is only the wrong dimensions because the worshipers are the wrong dimensions. Amen? I mean, honestly, that's the only reason that it is messed up is because those who build it are messed up. Amen. And we need to understand that. So, again, let's realize that we are the same way. If we don't do what God says, then we don't measure up either, and therefore what we do will not measure up. And so religion today has less concern with what the Bible says, more concern with what people think, and therefore it's not going to measure up. It is not going to measure up. And it's a shame. It is a shame to watch great ministries, but it's not the great ministries. It's the people that aren't measuring up within the ministries. And that which used to be so solid, that which used to be, I think I have an eyelash in my eye, sorry about that. But that which used to be so solid, that which used to take such a good stand. Again, we're not talking about numbers when we talk about greatness. We're talking about great because of the stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that which used to be take that great stand, one by one by one by one, they are falling. But it's, again, the ministry, we look at ministries, like, good night, what in the world is wrong? You know, they're canceling this service, they're canceling that service, they're canceling buses, they're canceling soul winning, they're canceling, you know, all these kind of things, not doing this, not doing that. Well, it's not the ministry, it's the worshipers therein. And again, just I believe a lesson here about the time of the tribulation. And, well, how could it, you know, how could it be right? The rapture takes out all the Christians. There isn't a whole lot of godly influence, you know. And I believe the two witnesses are preaching at this time, and we'll get into that in a minute. I think they start shortly after the rapture. Again, time is not specific here in Revelation 11. And so the point is, you know, there are people that are getting saved. There are people that are hearing for the first time and getting saved. But they're not going to be the most solid, obviously. They're going to have to grow and learn. But why would we be shocked? Under Antichrist, it will be complete wrong direction and much, much error. All right? There's no use even measuring the court. The Bible says the court which is without the temple, leave out, measure it not, for it's given unto the Gentiles. It's a given. It's given unto the Gentiles. It isn't going to be right. No use to measure it. Nothing shocking about that. I mean, we expect the world to do their thing. It's just God's people. We're supposed to be different. I'm never shocked when an unsaved person cusses and swears. That doesn't shock me. When I was unsaved, I did that. I'm never shocked when an unsaved person is a drunk. That doesn't shock me. Does it shock you? I'm never shocked when an unsaved person is immoral. That doesn't surprise me. Never, and it shouldn't surprise us. That is how they are. These worldly rock concerts and all that kind of stuff, and making their signs, the fist sign to the devil. That doesn't shock me. You know, it's amazing how we how can they're lost? They're not saved. You know what's a shock though? You know what? God has to get us to measure it to see how it could possibly be out of whack. Is when that which is supposed to be holy doesn't measure up. It's kind of like when they had the Battle of the Bands here with the fair, or the downtown. When they used to have, I can't think of what that's called now. But anyway, they had the Battle of the Bands, and on the front page there were all these people giving their signs to the devil at this concert that they had out here on the Main Street. And and right there in the middle was somebody that went here to church. Now all the wicked people with their earrings and the half naked women and all that didn't shock me, but that person there, it was like, wow, I better get my reed and measure this thing and just see what in the world is going on. Hello. Yeah. Amen. All right, good. It's okay. I can handle it. So the point is, you know, that things are not how they seem. And God says, measure it. Just check it out. Now, we have our measuring instrument here, and it's called the Word of God. Amen. And this measuring tool right here, this will let us know when things just don't quite measure up. And, you know, the first thing we should always look at is treat it as a mirror. Amen. Because typically, if things get out of whack, it's probably, we may want to check and see if we're out of whack or not. Amen. Amen. I know I'm starting to smell the sausage cooking too. It's hard to pay a lot of attention, but let's do, all right? Amen. Now, so again, we have this measuring going on. And the Gentiles, and it talks about the Gentiles. It is the outer court, it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now, it's given unto the Gentiles. And my thinking on that is it's referring all the way back to the vision of King Nebuchadnezzar and how the Gentiles have kind of, they basically have had rule since the Babylonian Empire. And it was the greatest empire. Remember the head of gold under King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire. And and that it will have, the Gentiles will have rule over everything else and really over the world, the world empires and that. And they would have that rule all the way until the second coming of Jesus Christ. That is a prophecy out of Daniel. Go ahead and turn there. Daniel chapter 2 that we've studied when we studied Daniel. And again, just to look at the Gentile rule and how that was prophesied by the Lord, Daniel 2 and verse 36. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. I always, 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 always want us to realize God, the God of heaven, hath given thee. Okay, it's not because man is so great. It's not because man is so smart. It's not because man is so powerful. The God of heaven gave it. Okay, King Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold. Wow, I'm a big shot. And then he's out in the backyard eating grass in the field for 7 years. Okay, let's always remember, whatever man does and is allowed to do, it is God that allowed it to happen. Amen. Verse 38, wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And then come the Medes and Persians. Verse 39, after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, that's the Greek Empire, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, that's the Roman Empire, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay, part of iron, there is that revived Roman Empire we talked about, which is in the last days. The kingdom shall be divided. There shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And again, remember the image, that is the Gentile rule, and it is an image starting with Nebuchadnezzar and ending up with that revived Roman Empire of the tribulation. And again, you have the strongest at the top, you have the weakest at the bottom, proving another proof that evolution is utterly, totally, completely ridiculous. Man is not getting better and better. Man is getting worse and worse. Amen. And anyway, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron, part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. You know, iron and clay don't mix. It's weak at the feet. It looks strong, but it's weak. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. They shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never, never, never be destroyed. Praise God. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And it shall stand forever, forasmuch as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, The great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain and the interpretation thereof sure. It's about to happen in Revelation. Amen. But again, the Gentile rule, the Gentiles, it being given unto the Gentiles, that certainly has been, I think, a figure, a picture of the Gentile rule that will last all the way till the second coming of Jesus Christ. And, of course, it talks about here, they shall tread underfoot 42 months, and the Gentiles, there will be Gentile influence in Israel. They will take over, I believe, at the middle when the Antichrist does his thing and breaks the covenant. And who knows? Who knows who he will represent at that time? The Muslims, you know, we don't know. But during, I think, the second half of the tribulation, this temple will be dedicated to the world and Satan and everything. The abomination of desolation will be set up, Daniel 9:27. And they will occupy, they will control it, they will subdue 1,260 days, 42 months, 3.5 years, however you want to call it. All references are made to those different times, all equaling a 3.5 period time, times half a time, time being 1 year, times being 2 years, half a time being half a year, 3.5 years. And so you know, again, it's one of those time things. You know, somebody said, well, that's the first part. I'm not going to fight with you. I don't agree with you. I think it's the second part. And I think the breaking of the covenant would indicate that. But again, Israel, Jerusalem, more specifically, is controlled and under Gentile control, possibly under the Antichrist. Many fictional books and different things, they have the Antichrist actually ruling their kingdom, if you will, their worldwide kingdom, ruling it right out of Jerusalem. Again, there does seem to be indication of that. And so something to think about. So anyway, we have this I think, the measuring of the temple. I don't just push these verses aside. I think they're very, very important. Again, everything that's going to happen is happening. Does that make sense? Everything that's going to happen, okay, it's not happened, but it's going to happen. It's happening. We're seeing things happen, all right? You can call them signs or whatever. Again, that proves that he's coming. No, God saying it proves that he's coming. It's just something we should watch. It's just stuff that we should watch that God gave us. Look, if God's going to tell us what's going to happen, doesn't it make sense that we pay attention to that? Okay, what we believe anyway, what I believe anyway, I'm not going to be here when that happens. But he still told me that it's going to happen. So why would he tell me it's going to happen if I'm not going to be there when it happens? By the way, many Christians aren't going to be there because they've already died. So why would he tell it? Well, because we can see what's happening leading up to it. Again, I use this all the time. Go all the way back to Daniel to know evolution's wrong. Amen? It's easy. I mean, it's so simple. You start with gold, you end up with iron and clay mixed. That's not good. So if I can understand that there's going to be all this deceit, and it's religious deceit. It's boldly religious deceit. Wow. It shouldn't shock me then that there's going to be all kinds of religious deceit in our day. And it will get worse and worse and worse. Remember the barcodes when they first came out? You know, some of us actually do remember them first coming. I was pretty young when they, I don't have a date. Does anybody know the date when barcodes first came out? I mean, it's back when I was young. And, you know, now we don't even think anything of it, do we? We don't think anything of computer chips. We don't think anything of scanning. Scanning is just kind of common knowledge. We get scanned all the time. Good night. We're being tracked. Most of us have GPSs we don't even know we have. Everybody in this room has a GPS probably on you right now because you have a cell phone. Now, it's not on. Anyway, it's on vibrate, but you know, we're so used to all that, aren't we? And we don't think anything of it. That's all stuff. That's all end time stuff. It's all making everything. You know, by the way, we think nothing of them showing a video clear on the other side of the world. We think nothing of it, right? It's just pretty accepted. We don't go, wow, that's amazing. You know, remember back when the first landing on the moon took place and we all were shocked that we could see it? I was very young. Some of you were older. But remember how, it was unbelievable. How can we see, this is on the moon. Now we don't think anything of that. It's not that big a deal, is it? I mean, Sheila Click, she's way out west one day and I get a phone call and it says FaceTime and after a few minutes of figuring all of it out, we're looking at each other's face. Remember the Jetsons? They did that. Now we're just kind of, you know, we're used to that. Brother Denias, he's talking to me the other day and he's talking on the landline phone after the end of our conversation, there's always a little time lapse in the conversation. After he said, do you have Skype? I said, yeah, I have Skype. And he goes, oh, well, you know, we need to Skype. And I said, great. Call Tim and tell him to tell me how to do it. You know, but I mean, everybody does it now. I mean, Sarah, you do that all the time, right? I mean, you guys talk to each other as if you're in the other room when she's in New Guinea out in the middle of nowhere. Right? Isn't that amazing? I mean, it just, but we're used to it. And these two witnesses that we're getting into, these two witnesses, the whole world's going to see them dead. But before they're dead, the whole world's going to see them doing their thing. And the whole world's going to absolutely hate their guts. Now, how can the whole world possibly even know about them? Now, 50 years ago, people would have said, I don't know, they're all maybe listening to the radio. It's like they're right next door. The tornadoes in Oklahoma, they hit on Monday. By Monday night, we had video from every kind of direction. How many of you saw videos from all directions of that tornado? I saw a video of somebody shooting up from a basement. How many of you saw that? Several of you did. That's within 8 hours. We had all that available to us. And see, you know, it's like if it's gonna happen, things are happening. Are you with me? I used to get so excited the first time, because I don't get out much. I don't shop because I'm dangerous when I shop at a grocery store, and I let my wife do all that. So I end up with more carrots and celery and stuff than other things. But I used to be so excited when they go beep, beep, beep. I thought, wow, this is exciting. Then I got to do it myself, self-serve. And I was nervous. I kind of trembled. You know what I'm talking about? I thought, boy, I'm going to do this wrong. You can't do it wrong. Beep. How can you beep wrong? It just beep. It just does it. And now we're used to it. One of these days, and honestly, I think this will happen. One of these days you're going to walk in, buy everything, put it in your cart, walk out, get scanned all along the way. It's gonna charge your account. It's gonna take the money out of your account. It's gonna replenish everything on the shelves, and you're not gonna do. You're just gonna pick it up and take it out. Getting scanned all the way. Computer chip on you, has all your bank information. No cash, no credit cards, nothing. Just has your information. If you have nothing in the bank, you walk in. Maybe it'll go beep. You know, yeah. Some of us will get used to that. Isn't that exciting? Not that me, but it's just, and we're used to it. No man can buy or sell. You can't do any of this without the mark of the beast. Well, how could that be possible? Now we see how it's possible. Have you ever, don't raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass you, but have you ever had your credit card rejected? Don't raise your hand. We all kind of know what that's like. Not necessarily because it's our fault, but it just, once it's rejected, right? And boy, it's embarrassing, you know. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. Have you ever, don't raise your hand, but just think about this, where they keep your credit card. Okay, well, here, let me, I'm sorry, we're instructed to keep it. What could you not do? Well, all the things in your cart, all the things you had, you don't get them, do you? And you couldn't buy or sell. Now we understand it. It's exciting. It's so exciting. And what is going to happen, we see it happening. And so that leads us to the ministry of the two. Verse 3, ushers, if you'll come. I still have 5 minutes, so ushers, come and collect the offering. And let's get into this. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Now, we'll talk about the sackcloth later on. But again, they do stand out. Would you agree that's going to stand out? Even in our day. Although, you know, when I see people sagging and stuff like that, I kind of think about sackcloth. But that's a whole other subject. I still, to this day, I'm not going to understand, Don, any guy walking down the street and having to hold his pants up with his hand. I don't get it. Never will understand it. Don't want to try. All right? I don't know if that's reverting back. I don't know if that's reverting forward. I don't know what that possibly could be. We saw somebody the other day, and he's walking like this. In the other hand's a cell phone. It's like this. And I think, you know, you could get that other hand free if you just get pants that fit. But anyway, that's another subject. I don't want to get into all that. But these guys are wearing sackcloth, and it definitely is going to stand out. Why do you wear sackcloth, by the way? Mourning. That's exactly right. They're wearing sackcloth. I think this is at the beginning of the tribulation. Again, no proof of that. The Bible didn't say that. I just know that they do this for the period of time, 1,260 days, 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years. I think this is all going on. I think it's at the beginning because I think they are the reason we have 144,000 saved. Again, remember, the rapture takes place. There's no evangelistic meetings going on. There's no revival meetings going on. There's no preaching going on. Church is gone. But these two are preaching. Now, the big question that we deal with, first of all, is who are these two witnesses? Who are they? Let's do a vote right now, all right? Now, you have to vote. You cannot just sit there, all right? You have to vote. How many of you think, as the pastor does, that this is Elijah and Enoch? How many of you think that? Whew, I feel a lot better. All right? How many of you think that it is Moses and Elijah? All right. Yeah, we're pretty close on that. I mean, it's. How many of you think something differently? Who doesn't care? No. Now, here's the thing about this whole thing. The Bible doesn't say. Okay, we have to go back to where God doesn't say. All we can do is what? Speculate. That's all we can do. Okay? Do you understand? It could be, there's any number of people it could be from the past. It could be Lester Roloff and John R. Rice. I mean, wearing sackcloth. We just don't, the Bible does not say. All right? And so I kid around with people, especially Brother Hawkins, but we both know there is no way in this world either of us could say, I'd stake my life on it, because that'd be about the dumbest thing we possibly could do. Why? Because the Bible doesn't say. The Bible does say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But the Bible doesn't say who these two are. So let's give our reason, all right? First of all, by the way, you'll notice one person was consistent in both ideas, and that is who? Elijah. All right, we're all kind of lean toward Elijah. Now, here's reasons for Elijah. Malachi 4. Look at Malachi. Malachi chapter 4, find Matthew and go back one. Or find Zechariah. Which would you rather find, Matthew or Zechariah? Anyway, Malachi 4 and verse 5. If I could get my pages to turn. There we go. The Bible says here, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Now, when's he coming? Before. Okay, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. "He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." This is a prophecy that is, very, very standard prophecy of end-time prophecy and the sending of Elijah. So we have our first indicator. We have our first idea that Elijah... Now, could he be talking about the transfiguration? It could be. I don't know. But obviously, there's that reference to the great and dreadful day of the Lord. That's end-time prophecy. All right? Now, my other thought with Elijah is... Hebrews 9:27, it says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after that the judgment. And so we have an idea that everybody's going to die. Well, Elijah did not die. He went up in the chariot, in a whirlwind, and God just took him. He did not die. So when's he going to die? I mean, he's never died. So what's going to happen? So you keep that in the back of your mind. And then... you take into consideration the transfiguration. He did come. He did appear with Moses. And so, that's pretty significant. God shows him with Moses to the disciples. And so, again, that has to be significant. Also, look at verse 6. Verse 6 of Revelation chapter 11. "These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy." Well, that takes us back to Elijah's ministry of causing it not to rain. And that is found in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1. And now I'm going to have to stop because I've run out of time. but anyway, that is why probably everybody here had Elijah with somebody. Just because... Malachi 4 is maybe the main reason, but you have all these other things to think about, all right? His ministry of stopping the rain, where God used him to do that, and the transfiguration, he was there. Also the fact that he did not die, but Malachi 4, 5, and 6 is real strong as far as a prophecy of the end time. So anyway, we will stop there, and we'll pick up next week talking about Enoch.